This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here are a couple of the stories NPR News is reporting on this afternoon. Shortly after today's prisoner swap between Israel and Hezbollah, the leader of the Lebanese militant group warned that his movement may kidnap more Israelis. And Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean says he does not need to win any of the next seven contests to keep his campaign alive. His campaign has decided against airing TV ads in the states holding primaries and caucuses next Tuesday. You can get more on those stories later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Ira Flatow will be here with Science Friday. He'll have the latest on the avian flu spreading across Asia, plus a look at genetically modified sperm and a new type of antibiotic bug-on-bug warfare. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Jack Roosevelt Robinson was born on a farm in rural Georgia 85 years ago this weekend. He was born to a life with many challenges, an absent father, a poor mother, a country divided by skin color. Jackie Robinson became famous not just for his talent in baseball and breaking the color line in America's pastime, but for his grace and his generosity.
I went to Atlanta, Georgia to play in an exhibition game. On the field for the first time in Atlanta, there were Negroes and whites, other Negroes besides me. And I thought, what I had always believed has come to be. And what is it that I have always believed? First, that imperfections are human. But that wherever human beings were given room to breathe and time to think, those imperfections would disappear no matter how slowly. I do not believe that we have found or even approached perfection. That is not necessarily in the scheme of human events. Handicaps, stumbling blocks, prejudices, all of these are imperfect. Yet they have to be reckoned with because they are in the scheme of human events. Whatever obstacles I found made me fight all the harder, but it would have been impossible for me to fight at all, except that I was sustained by the personal and deep-rooted belief that my fight had a chance. It had a chance because it took place in a free society. Not once was I forced to face and fight an immovable object. Not once was the situation so cast iron rigid that I had no chance at all. Free minds and human hearts were at work all around me. And so there was a probability of improvement.
Jackie Robinson's daughter Sharon travels around the country these days visiting schools and talking about her father as part of the Breaking Barriers program. She's written a new book called Promises to Keep, How Jackie Robinson Changed America. It contains historical information but also offers an intimate portrait of Jackie as a father and as a ballplayer, a legendary ballplayer. Sharon Robinson joins us now in Studio 3A to discuss the book and Jackie Robinson's legacy. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Neil. It's great to be here.
You've traveled around to all kinds of schools. You work for Major League Baseball as well as with the legacy of your father. Do kids know who your father is?
I'm actually surprised, Neil. They know about him. They've studied him. They've read books about him. They've done reports on him. So 30 years since he's, you know, he died 30 years ago, and, you know, over 50 years since he broke the color barrier, he is still an icon to this generation of kids.
And that's so unusual because there are so many ball players today who don't understand the history of their game and might not know who, you know, a Christy Mathewson was. Everybody knows who Jackie Robinson was.
You know, it is unusual. I think partly, you know, you have these National History Day projects that are themes that fit, my father's life fits in very nicely with their themes. So a lot of kids are you know, covering him during that project, and it's helped spread the word.
When you go to schools, what do kids ask you about your dad?
They mostly want to focus on what it's like to be Jackie Robinson's daughter. They kind of want to know the personal, what he was like at home, you know, what was he like as a dad. They listen to historical things, and if they're some real baseball fans in the audience, they'll know some basic facts about his playing. But they really want to know what he was like.
By the way, if you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, or you can email us, TOTN, at npr.org. So, treat me like a grade schooler in Englewood, New Jersey. What was your dad like? What was it like to grow up as the daughter of such a famous and important man?
Well, Neil, you know, my parents did a very good job of kind of keeping us at home. It was a private family life and relatively normal. We stepped outside of our home and it was a different situation. But within our home, we did have, you know, certainly signs that my father was, you know, very famous. We had the trophy room. Mm-hmm. We had people that would call. He was always being asked questions from the press. So we'd get calls like during dinner time or in the evening. And wanting his reaction to things. But more importantly, he really wanted his family to feel like we had a private side with him that was had nothing to do with his public self, and that was really important to us. But I will tell you, though, Neil, people often ask me, did he talk about baseball at home? You know, did he talk about, you know, his experiences?
And did you watch games with him? Yeah.
I watched games with him. Well, I was six when he retired from baseball, mm-hmm. so I didn't have that kind of experience as a young child. You know, I remembered spring training. It's about all I know of his baseball career. So I heard mostly about it from people outside of my home. My father was a pretty humble man, and what he talked to us about was really the civil rights movement.
And there's a wonderful picture in the book, among many wonderful pictures in the book, of Martin Luther King when he came to visit your house.
In 1963, I was 13 at the time. It was our first jazz concert. We went on to give many jazz concerts at our home. But when my father was alive, the jazz concerts were to support the civil rights movement or something that was happening within the movement. After my father died, we started doing jazz concerts for the Jackie Robinson Foundation.
Mm-hmm. There are the book, of course, tells the story that we all know and that we all don't know. And one of the things that you reveal to us in this book is the letters, some of the letters that your parents wrote to each other, each beginning, darling.
Oh, I love that, Neil, yes. Promises to Keep is about commitment, obviously. It's a commitment to social change. It was a commitment between my parents, commitment to parenting, and a commitment to the civil rights movement. When I was working on the book, I went to my mom and I asked her all kinds of details that I really didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to explain to her, I was like, Mom, kids need, you know, I need to figure a way to get Dad's voice into how he loved you. And would you allow me to read the letters? So they'd always been kind of hidden away in a private thing. So my mother left me home one Saturday with letters from her, a pile of letters from her and a pile of letters from my father. And I read through them and I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, I knew they had this great devotion to each other, but the darling part was one of the mm-hmm. things. I didn't know they were so romantic.
My darling, I miss you very much, and I'm glad when another day passes so I can be with you. I am sure you know how much I love you and that my love is stronger today than it ever has been. I know that that it will continue to improve, and we will have many more years of happiness ahead. The letter goes on to talk about his weight.
You're right. Isn't that amazing?
There's one of these. It's got a. It's been burned at the bottom.
Oh, it was so funny. My mother, when she saw it, she's like, Sharon, did you drop coffee on my letter? But, yeah, I just love that because it was, again, the darling, but it was like, I'm sorry I can't meet you at the, I won't be there to meet you, but the game starts at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, it was just so touching. And to have it in his hand, you know, today when we deal emails and sure. cell phone calls, you know, to have this kind of romantic of way of communicating with each other was really beautiful.
Yeah, I'm not sure our archived BlackBerry messages are going to be quite so romantic. Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation.
Okay,
and G. Gordon joins us on the line from Anchorage in Alaska.
Geez, well, hello there.
Hi, G.
This is a first-time caller getting through and listening to you for years, and it's really apropos that this be the one. It's just a pleasure. It's just a pleasure talking to the daughter of Jackie.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure speaking to you as well.
What's your connection with Jackie Robinson?
Well, this is just special. Excuse me, it's just special.
We can hear you're getting a little emotional, but take a minute, catch your breath, and go ahead.
Well, I was a 6-7-year-old Portuguese kid in L.A. and Crenshaw and Adams.
Huh.
And I was the midget kid in the neighborhood. And I was Portuguese, so I'm now in Alaska for a number of years, but I was, say the least, dark-skinned at that time.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1946-47. Long story short, I was a sports kid early on, from the time Jackie hit the major leagues in 47, I was just starting to read the newspaper and play baseball every day, every minute of the day, and then saw the film, of course. And then, of course, I was living in L.A., so it was a big market. And just say his hard times, it wasn't easy times for a lot of us, and just Jackie was huge.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you, and it's just a darn pleasure that after all these years, this is the show that I called and was able to get through.
Okay.
It's so special.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. We're speaking with Sharon Robinson. Her new book is Promises to Keep, How Jackie Robinson Changed America. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to Chris. And Chris joins us from Williamsburg, Virginia.
Hi there, Neil.
Hi.
I'm a high school teacher. I teach government now, but for a long time I taught American studies. And one of the things that I always tried to work into every year was teaching about baseball generally because of its importance in American life and culture, but especially about Jackie Robinson. And one year I was going to use part of the Ken Burns baseball series, which is a wonderful thing, that the segment about Jackie Robinson, and I was asked, well, why do you want to show this? He's just a ball player. At which point I pretty much exploded. What do you mean, just a ball player? Are you kidding me? And then I was subsequently sort of forced to write a letter explaining why this was so important to show in class, and it was it's a powerful piece of documentary filmmaking about, to me, one of the most important Americans in this century, along with Hank Aaron, my two favorite baseball players, but also two of my favorite Americans.
Well, thank you, Chris.
And anything you could do to get baseball into any classroom.
That's right.
Oh, I'm always on it no matter what.
Well, I hope you'll get a copy of Promises to Keep, because you'll find that it talks a great deal about why baseball was targeted for change in 1945.
Oh, thank you. And by the way, I also assigned kids to read part of I Never Had It Made, which was a wonderful resource as well.
Absolutely.
A great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Sharon, we mentioned the letters between your parents that you include in the book. There's some other letters that are in the book. Less attractive ones, death threats. Why did you think it was important to include those?
Well, I think it is important to include them for kids, because it is hard for them to visualize this period, and that there was so much hate over blacks and whites playing baseball together. But I also wanted to have kids to kind of feel, you know, what kind of emotion those letters sent to my father and to other people. But the interesting thing for me was when I asked my mother, well, just tell me, Mom, did you get, like, more hate letters than you got, you know, letters of support? Or how did they fit in? She actually said we had far more letters of support than we had hate letters.
Hmm. Let's get another listener on the line. This is Tom, who's with us from St. Louis.
Hi, how y'all doing?
All right.
Fine.
I am having a casual lunch in the car, a late lunch, and I have a sixth grader, 12-year-old, big baseball player here in St. Louis, big Cardinal fan, and he's doing his first big research paper of his school career, and their theme this semester is the 20th century in America, and he just decided out of the blue, and this goes back maybe a month ago, he decided his topic would be your father, Jackie Robinson.
Oh, that's something.
We have been doing just a ton of research on your father, and we've got about 15, 20 books from the library on him, and tremendous amount of information out there, but when I heard you on, I just said, oh, I got a call so I can tell him tonight, hey, I talked to his daughter.
Oh, that's great.
So you got
that'll spur him along.
You got a shot now. Is there some research question you've yet to ask?
Well, you know, I'm not well prepared, so I'm just enjoying the show, and he's the one that has to do the work.
Okay, great.
So I just wanted to call and say hi.
Well, tell him I'm glad he selected my father, and tell him to get Promises to Keep from the library, too, because I think you'll find some insight that he may not find in other books.
I wrote it down, and we're going to search for it. We'll find it.
Okay. Great.
Thanks very much.
We just have about a minute left, Sharon, okay. And I did want to ask you, you have a son of your own now.
Yes,
and,
I do.
How does he react to his grandfather's legacy?
He is so proud of his grandfather. You'll see there's a photo in Promises to Keep of him where he actually enacted the moment when my father crossed first base during the All-Star game, I guess 2 years ago, in Milwaukee. He's very, very proud of him, and I've kind of impressed upon him that's very good, but you have to develop, you know, your own self. And so now he's in culinary art school. He's going to be a chef. So my 6'4", former all-American football player is, you know, a very talented chef.
Thank you so much for being with us, and
thank
we wish your son the best of luck in his new career.
Thank you.
Sharon Robinson is the author of a new book about her father, Jackie, Promises to Keep, How Jackie Robinson Changed America. She's also Vice President of Educational Programming for Major League Baseball. She was with us here in Studio 3A.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Really hit it? Yes. And that ain't all. He stole home. Yes, yes. Jackie's real gone.
I'm Neil Conan. Lynn Neary will be here for the next couple of weeks. I'm on vacation. It's NPR News.